David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Advisor with Stacey Chalamy. And today we're here with a very special guest. It's Shannon Freeman, and she is part of our podcast community. She has her own podcast on our channel, and she is amazing. She is an amazing coach, and she just helps you really dig down into your soul and connect with yourself. And she brings the beauty inside you, outside you. And she's here today. She's going to talk about a topic that's really near and dear to her heart, and many of us can relate to it. And it's about really struggling to strength, you know, basically learning how to go through the pain of narcissism. If you have somebody in your family, like a father, a mother, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, who is a narcissist, you know, going through that pain, and then really learn how to cope with it, and going through the learn how to love again, and learn how to move on in life, and overcoming all the traumatic events that have occurred. And I'm here now with Shannon, and I'm really so glad that you're talking about this topic, because there's so many people out there that either have a loved one, a spouse, a partner, you know, a parent, you know, that is a narcissist, or they just have a friend that's a narcissist. Lots of people keep it quiet. They don't tell anybody. They're embarrassed. But at the same time, they're really in a lot of pain and they're hurting. You know, why is, you know, the topic narcissism so important for you to talk about and to educate others on?
Yeah. I grew up with a narcissistic parent, and at a very young age, I was told by one of my mother's therapists that my father was a narcissist. And at the time, it was kind of taboo. We didn't have the accessibility to information to educate ourselves. And it really wasn't until, I would say, late 30s, really when my children started to get older, I would say probably around teenage years, that I kind of took a step back and understood that a lot of the behavior that I saw as a child was not okay, and that the behavior that was given to me even as an adult was not okay. And when I actually confronted him, and at the time I didn't know that you were not supposed to confront a narcissist, and it was just full-blown narcissistic rage, it just crashed my whole world. And in an instant, it wasn't even the veil thinning, it was just completely gone. And everything that everyone had told me throughout my life just became true. And it took a lot of healing. It's still a process of healing, right? But it really connected to every toxic relationship, because I essentially dated my dad over and over and over again. I grew up in an environment where this really toxic, lying, vindictive, conniving behavior, self-serving behavior was normalized. And you don't know that it's not normal until you do take a step back, right? Even when people say, like, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, even friends, you have friends that have the same type of family dynamic, because it's what you gravitate to. It's your baseline for normal. And so my hope is that by speaking out and doing the energetic and holistic work that I have been doing with women, it allows them to heal in a way, and it doesn't take somebody 40 years to get their life back on track.
I love it. You know, it's amazing, but over 70% of our society comes from dysfunctional families. And when you have a narcissist in your family, especially if it's a parent, it's normal. Like, it's like, this is all you know. This is, and I don't know if you ever felt like this, but growing up, I gravitated to people that were just like me. So people who came from dysfunctional families, people who came from families where they were enduring pain, and you know, those are the people I gravitated to, because those are the people who understood me. And so I was surrounded by other people that had the same type of lifestyle as I did, and I didn't know any better. So growing up, I was just in a family, that was dysfunctional. I had a narcissistic mother, you had a narcissistic father, and it was a very, hard drive. Did you ever feel like you needed to try to find like an scapegoat? Did you ever, or were you just, it was so normalized that you didn't even know until your adulthood that this was happening? But I'm sure the pain was there.
There was always, I think, that sense of pain. I think a lot of children of narcissistic parents are very empathic because you're constantly scanning and trying to read the room because you are essentially walking on eggshells constantly, right? And I think for a long time when I was younger, my outlet was sports, right? And so very competitive, always playing every sport, always excelling. Playing for ODP, which was the Olympic Development Program, so just regimented, right? Being groomed for soccer. And then as I got older, there was a definite shift, and then it kind of turned to like drugs and alcohol. And for me, it wasn't like a let me lash out and experiment as being a bad kid. It was almost just a sense of peace, and it was. For me, it was just a sense to kind of check out and not feel that stress and not feel like I'm constantly on call because, in that type of environment, you're constantly exchanging services or acts, or, there's always an exchange for love. There's never just an unconditional love. So, if I did bad at soccer, then it wasn't almost, it was the silent treatment. Or if I wasn't doing great in school, it was the silent treatment. And you are very aware when you are not in line, right? And I think with a lot with oh, narcissistic parents, love is received as your obedience, right? And so just to step back from that and just to be able to relax, and obviously it wasn't a healthy way of doing it. That was the outlet, unfortunately. And I think it is for a lot of children growing up in that environment.
I found that, one of the things I found that is that narcissistic people have very low self-esteems. But the one thing that makes them feel good is when they have a child or even a spouse, they need to put them on a podium. So they always need to be doing good because you are the one thing that makes them feel good because they don't feel good about themselves. So when if you're not being perfect in their eyes, then you're not, they can't brag about you and they can't do this because it's because of you, because of me. She is so good in sport, you know what I mean? And because she's doing this and she's great at this, it's because of me. So if we're not, perfect, then there it makes them look bad and they're the ones with the low self-esteem. So it's almost in it and they know how to make you feel guilty. They know how to make you feel, disappointed in yourselves. And a lot of times, people really have low self-esteems, that have parents that are narcissistic.
And I struggled too, because I did feel like a lot of my achievements were exclusively for my dad's approval. So then, with a stack of athletic scholarships, I would say my senior year of high school, my dad had really just checked out. He had another relationship and started another family, or had met a woman that had younger children and kind of just checked out with that family. Because it's easier with little kids, right? Like little kids love you bring toys. And also I think I was getting to an age where I was really starting to question a lot of the behavior, and I saw it as unacceptable. And that's not questioning that behavior was not acceptable to a narcissist. And so there was a huge shift for me of if I'm not doing this for my father and I'm not really doing it for myself, like why am I doing it? So it was just kind of like walking away from all of these, academic accolades and, sports scholarships because I had no purpose anymore. And I didn't understand that I could do something for myself. And that also trickled into my adult life. With every other relationship, it was, I need to do this for you, and I need to do this for you. And then becoming a mother, right? Even being devoted to my career and to my kids, when I would date somebody, which was ultimately a narcissist, it was, let me do this for you, and let me, make this beautiful home for you, and let me make sure that you're okay, and let me make sure that you're proud of me. never realizing that this was just so ingrained into my psyche and that I should be doing things for myself, right? So it was always this need to perform. And, you know, if I go this extra mile, if I lose this extra 10 pounds, if I look this certain way, if I cook this dinner, like you're just going to love me more. And ultimately, the relationships didn't, you know, work out, or ultimately they would cheat. And that was also very normal to me because I grew up watching that. And then it just kind of compounded on top of itself. But also, I just knew that was coming. I was always constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And narcissists too. I don't know how you felt, but they don't really know how to love. They will give presents and they'll do other things, but a lot of narcissists, well, most all narcissists, they don't really know how to show love. They don't. They're not. They don't have empathy, and they you won't hear the words "I'm sorry" from them either. And that sometimes could hurt because sometimes, you have a situation when you are a child that all you want to do, even as an adult, sometimes you just want them to say, "I'm sorry, I acknowledged I was wrong," and then you're willing to throw it over your shoulder. But when you don't even get that, it hurts. It's hard to let go.
I think with narcissists and even with my father to child, there is that love bomb, right? When you first come into relationship with a narcissist, you know, very shortly into the relationship, as I love you, I've never met anyone like you. Oh my God, you're the woman of my dreams. I can't believe I've, you know, where have you been my whole life? And it's that oxytocin boost, right? So it's almost, it's that addiction. And when I first moved to Nashville, it was almost the same thing with my father. Like, oh my God, my daughter and my grandkids, and like, let me take you here and let me take you there. And it was this like dump. It was this love bomb. And I was like, oh my God, like I have this relationship with my dad. This is so great. And it fizzled out really quickly, just like with every relationship. But by that time, I kind of like the blinders weren't so dense, and I knew I could see what was happening. My kids were the first ones to pick up on it, and the kids were the first one to be like, this is the same shit that was happening in Arizona. Like, there's all of these promises, and then they're empty. But then, like, when we're in front of people, it's the greatest grandpa and the greatest father in the world. But behind closed doors, it's a very different scenario, which as a child, growing up in that environment is incredibly confusing, right? Because when you're out and about, or you're at family functions or at parties, it's the greatest person in the world, and they're so doting and they're so loving. But then as soon as that door closes, it's a completely different person, and it shifts. And it's almost like you crave that person. Like, you know that they're there, they're capable of doing it, but then it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's, you don't know what happened, especially at a young age, right?
Oh, for sure. And that's the thing is that so many people would compliment how my mother was such a great person and so friendly and so sweet. And she could be when she wanted to be, and then she would switch, just one trigger point could switch her completely. And they always seemed like there was a motive, and I never knew, like three little pigs, you'd never, when they cried wolf, you never, when the one piggy cried wolf, you didn't know really, if they were just playing around or if they were real, because I never really understood who is that real person inside. Because I don't think narcissists really know themselves. They have a lot of repressed emotions, a lot of anger. They don't know how to love. And it kind of like in college, we learned about this onion theory. And it's like they're kind of narcissists are kind of like an onion. So if you keep peeling an onion, when you get to the middle, there's nothing there. And simply, that's how a narcissist is. They don't have love. They don't have, a lot of the things, they don't have empathy, and they're missing a lot of the things that really are meaningful in life. So that's where that low self-esteem comes in. That's where that anger comes in. And, they see other people that they really want to be like, and they don't think they have it in them, and they get angry when they see your successes too, And so they have to praise themselves by praising your successes and making it sound like it's their successes.
Oh yeah, there's a and I learned that too shortly after I moved here. It was and I could see, stepping back now, I see where my brother and I, it's an expectation to thank him where we are. There was never, we got here by ourselves, right? It was, we always owed him so much credit. And I even know, like, everything that I accomplished on my own is almost like I inherently knew, like, and I'm just so thankful for you. And it's almost like you have to boast them up. And I, looking back at the behavior that I knew to, I just knew to fall in line, and now seeing just how wrong it was. And I think too, also a lot of narcissistic behavior is very, it's learned, right? And so being very mindful of, like, I don't want to do that in my own household, and I want to make my children know, like, this is not acceptable behavior, and you are very well versed in your own accomplishments, and you should be, your best, speaker of what you do on your own, because you did do that on your own. And you shouldn't, yes, thank me that, like, I've given you a roof and I've given you food and basic needs, but, like, you've accomplished this on your own. Whereas growing up, it's almost like you learn to be subservient and constantly, like, just, I guess, over gracious, and make them feel more than, because that's what they crave constantly, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, it's so true. It's so true. Now, when you went through all this, what was some of the solutions? Like, how did you start to overcome, because it took me a while myself, and I had to really realize that I was in this relationship and I wanted to be the opposite of what was going on in my life. So then I reached out and got help, and I learned how to be the person I wanted to become. But I had to go through a whole cycle of learning who I was, what I wanted for myself, and then learn how to overcome all that pain and trauma. Now, for you went through a lot of pain and trauma because you had not only a father who was a narcissist, but you also had a partner in your relationship who was a narcissist. And that's very normal because a lot of times we don't even realize it, but we look for people with the same qualities of our like fathers, like daughters will look for their father's qualities and vice versa, and the sons will look for their mother's qualities. And unfortunately, we fall into that trap, and you fell into that trap just like I did. But how did how were you able to turn things around for yourself and start to move in a positive way where you started to get through the healing process and get your life straightened out?
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I stumbled a couple times. It wasn't a linear path. Really, I kind of separated myself from my father initially. When they were young, when my kids were young, I would say around 3 or 4. And really, it started with the empty promises to him. He would call them, and I'm going to come over and get ready to see grandpa. And then he would ghost us for a couple months. And for me, trying to keep my head above water, dealing with burnout, right? Dealing as a single mom, working in corporate, it was just one less thing that, like, I just didn't want to deal with. And so I really put distance. And shortly around there was when I kind of hit burnout face first, right into the wall. And then that kind of was a catalyst for this spiritual awakening, as everyone says. And that was a really deep dive of just secluding myself, and analyzing behaviors that were, like, not appropriate, I think, from other people, and realizing that this isn't something that I want for myself. And what I'm worth, right? It's stuff that, like, I don't want to tolerate, and stuff that I wouldn't tolerate for my daughter. So really taking that into account, and then moving forward with relationships, right? And then shortly after that was when I moved to Nashville. And so then it was kind of like I hit that, it was when I stumbled, because I came back into the same patterns of my dad, and trying to, please him and make him happy and be, the golden child and not the scapegoat. And it was when I realized that, like, all of these relationships and seeing my dad's behavior from kind of this new evolved person, I was dating my dad, essentially, right? Like, I was dating the same type of person. And so for me, it was taking that step back. And I tried traditional therapy for me, because the abuse was so ingrained. And even going through some of the shamanic rites. There's, some really deep healing with the father and, going through, energetically and talking to the spiritual part of your father and telling them all of the things that, they did to hurt you on this timeline. I remember going through that and apologizing to my dad for holding on to all of these things. And looking back, I'm like, God, you're so stupid. Like, but that's how deep the abuse is. Like, I'm mad at you that you cheated on my mom. I'm mad at you that you treated me a certain way. And like, no, that's, I was a child. I didn't know that, right? But it's also the abuse that it's ingrained that like he is never wrong. He always has a story of why he is innocent. And so for me, it was, the energetic healing, a big turning point for me, especially recently, was the womb healing and connecting to the feminine and allowing myself to be vulnerable, right? And allowing myself to realize that like this feminine portal that I carry in my womb is worth respect and love and is just so full of creation, does not deserve any kind of disrespect. Allowing that space to just be so open for only love and see the aspects of like the abuse from previous relationships and from childhood. And that is not aligned with love, right? That's not aligned with love at all. You can really start to identify the abuse. And there's even times now, I mean, to sit and say that like my dad never loved me. That's hard, right? And I think for any child of a narcissist, and there's some people that are really good and they can draw the line. There are times that I shared with my father that were beautiful to me, right? Does it mean that it was disingenuine? Potentially, because there was a crowd and it made him look great. But like to me, it was special. That's how I heal. And I think everyone's healing is very different. But once you can identify that from like that child place and then see how it trickles onto your adult life and manifest in really bad toxic relationships, which I loved, a total burnout dude, employment inclined and was not monogamous. Like I love that type of guy, but that was also my father. I love to be burned out because I was constantly trying to achieve, like everyone will love me if I achieve. But it didn't start in the boardroom. It started way, at birth, essentially, because that was the environment that I was raised in.
It's true, and I think it's great that you realize that. And I think one thing too we have to realize is that we never should think, feel sorry, when we're being wrong. A lot of times we, like you said, they turn it around, and then it's like, oh, you feel bad, I'm sorry, and then you're like, wait a second, why did I say I'm sorry? I have nothing to be sorry about. I wasn't the one who did the thing that was wrong. I was wrong by the other person, So then you have to really strengthen yourself and realize you are not wrong. You have a right to feel the way you do. And that was told to me very several times, is that sometimes we don't realize, but our emotions are never wrong. We have the right to feel the way we want to feel. And those are your feelings, nobody else's. And nobody could take that away from you. And even though the other person might not feel like that, well, that's fine. Let them feel however they want. But you have the right to feel angry. You have the right to feel sad. You have the right to feel betrayed. Those are your emotions. And you never should feel sorry for being able to feel the way you feel. And they say sometimes the best way sometimes to walk away from these situations is to walk away silently, because you can never win an argument with a narcissist.
And it's funny that you say that. And growing up, even into adulthood, I always would describe my dad as somebody that could run you over in a car and convince you that it was your fault that he ran you over, not realizing that's like such a huge narcissistic trait. But that was really when we went no contact was because I kind of had this like, I need to tell you how I feel and how your behavior to other people, which was awful and degrading and just heartbreaking to me and to me too. Like, I mean, it was just everyone around me. It was just crushing. I mean, when you hear people saying like, oh, the soul sucking job, I mean, it was just soul sucking to watch him behave in this way. And it didn't matter how I felt. It was, you're wrong. And I mean, some of the things that he said to me in that last exchange, I will never forget, and I will not repeat, because it was absolutely filthy. And it was something I never imagined that my dad would say. But as soon as I was able to get in my car, because he chased me out of this restaurant. But it was just this moment of like, if my child came up to me and had these feelings, I can never imagine treating my son or my daughter in that way, right? Because I would move mountains to make sure that they didn't feel that way, because that's what a parent does, right?
Yeah.
And that's what a friend does. That's what a partner does. That's what most humans do. If someone reaches out, and in we use the joke about the green shirt, like if my child says, "I don't like you wearing a green shirt on a Tuesday," something about that bothers you enough for you to bring it to my attention. And like I always, try to tell the kids, maybe somebody's telling you that because they were sexually violated in a green shirt, and that's triggering. Like, it doesn't
Yeah.
matter. They're using the energy to tell you that that bothers them. Respect that, because it's so valuable that they're using their voice, and that takes a lot of courage. I
Yeah.
can't imagine minimizing my child and just making them feel like it was their fault for having those feelings. But
Right.
also, that's very narcissistic. And that's part of like his disorder, and it is a
Yeah.
disorder. And I have to realize that that is part of his brain, that I cannot change,
Right.
and I can't take responsibility for that, and I can't
Right.
overextend myself to try to fix it. But also with that disorder, if we're speaking from like an energetically woo-woo spot,
Yeah.
I see how that is such a huge sacrifice, because I don't think that he will have true love and true joy in this life. But also, his behavior has shown me what it's like to choose myself and choose self-love, right? And it's also
Yes.
helped me to heal my mom and to heal generations moving forward. And
Right.
so I'm so thankful for that sacrifice that he made for me to choose myself and show me that lesson,
Yeah.
in choosing self-love and choosing love over all. And I know that, up in the cosmos and up in the Akashic records, he's not that way, but like, thank you for your sacrifice, and I honor it, and I will not diminish it, by living a life like he does, right?
I think that's so beautifully said. And I think, like what you said is true. You have to just learn to that it's a disorder and we can't change them. And that, we just have to learn how to live the best we possibly can. And it made you the better person. You learn from this. This was a learned experience and you were able to really strengthen yourself. You learned how to love yourself and apply self-care to yourself. And it took me a while also, and I learned that too. I learned how to apply self-care to myself without feeling guilty. I learned how to love myself. It gave me a lot of strength, and I was able to help others like you. So in a sense, when people go through these traumatic times, it's not the end of the world. You can always pull something positive out of the negative, and it's just taking the time to heal. And then once you get to that healing point, I think, then pull something positive out of it and then, and give back to the universe, give back to people and teach people, what they're missing and how to overcome their obstacles and their narcissistic parents or boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife and so forth.
It's a beautiful initiation, right? It's something that changed us for the better. It's something that's really hard. And it's funny, because I think every time any of us go through these really hard pain points, and then it's growing is painful, like in general, it's just painful. But it leads to something so much more beautiful. So I'm thankful for it. I mean, it sucked when it was in the middle of it, but I'm on the other side, and I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for the way that I'm able to connect with other women that are going through the same thing.
I love it. And that's what's so important is that you're helping others and that makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. Now, can you, from everything we talked about today, can you and pull out some important factors or some turning points that you really like to emphasize to the listeners that you think are important?
I think a big lesson that I want to push into 2025 that's so important is just the power of connection. I think one thing that I really struggled with was trying to do all of the healing, all of the things on my own, and finding that connection just in my sisters, right? And not like blood sisters, just all of the women that are around me. Because there's a lot more women that are going through the same exact thing that you are than what I think we realize, right?
Yeah.
And I think too, those times that we're weak as women, leaning in on our sisters for that support. I think just in this society, especially today, where we are taught and bred to do everything on our own and do not ask for help, otherwise you're slacking. It's so much easier to just lean in on somebody, and finding, people in the community, whether it's, the holistic community or, whatever your connection is, just allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Because I think as women, we're intuitively drawn into each other like that. We've just
Yeah.
built up this barrier. I think that's like the biggest thing that I just want to share with everyone is just lean in, like hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder. Like we all have each other, and we can all hold each other, right? Because it's a lot
Yeah.
easier to do together. I think another really important thing is to not think that you are going crazy or you're losing it, because I think when you're in the middle of it, and especially with a narcissist, they will 110% make you question your sanity, or they will make other people think that you are going crazy, and they will
Yeah.
plant the seeds of doubt in other people and paint the narrative that, you're this crazy, chaotic, alcohol driven person. And for me, I was lucky in that scenario with my dad that I could just walk away from those people.
Yes.
Not everyone can do that. But also, when you're getting ready to split, or if you, even if you're not, getting ready to go no contact, I can promise that narcissist has already planted seeds to make you look like someone who is not, would not be someone who could validate the truth, if that makes sense.
It does.
And you're not going crazy. What you are experiencing is real. Your emotions are valid. Your emotions should never be minimized. And your experience is authentic to you. And I think it's so sad when people question their own reality,
Right.
because it's so easy for a narcissist to paint the picture of like, are you okay? How are you feeling? You don't seem like you're well, just because you question them, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I could walk, if I could leave this conversation with one more special little seed of advice, I think it would be to know that you're just worthy of love and to love yourself. Because that was a really, really hard thing, especially when you've been torn down or you've been raised in an environment that you're less than, or if you are not constantly performing at 110%, that you are not worthy of love, you are. And that was something that I think I struggled with really up until I separated from my dad and met my husband, who is just so amazing and 180 degrees from any narcissist and anyone that I ever dated. But we're all worthy of that love, but it has to start with loving ourselves.
100%. I love that. That's beautifully said. Now, can you tell everybody about the services that you provide?
I am working with women in a 9-week container where we address the cause of burnout. And then I don't want to say cure burnout because it's always something that we work against. But once we're able to identify the cause, it's a lot easier of a symptom to manage. And I am working throughout Nashville hosting workshops on womb wisdom and information on our energetic bodies. I'm having a lot of fun hosting sound baths throughout Nashville, with a yoga instructor, Teresa. She's amazing. And you can find me on Instagram at Modern Hippie Soul or on my website at www.modernhippiesoul.com.
I love it. This has been amazing. I thank you so much for coming on the show. And I thought this was a great topic that you wanted to speak about because there's so many people who struggle with narcissistic people in their lives. And I think people need to realize too is that it's okay to reach out and go for help. It's okay to, go for either group therapy, one-on-one therapy, go see a coach, whatever works for you. But don't try to keep it private because I've seen many people too, they keep it a secret because they're embarrassed and they know they don't want other people to know that what's going on behind the closed doors. And, nobody deserves to suffer. Everybody deserves joy and happiness in their life. And I think, people who are going through this, don't be afraid to speak up and go for help, and that is key. That is definitely key.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. This was a good conversation. I like want to give you a hug.
I wish I'm giving you a hug right now. Well, you have a great day, Shannon. I love you so much. You're great.
You do the same. I'm sending you so much love.